Our shots were Eschanan. By the way, could you hear me? Could you hear me okay now? Today, is there static? Good, okay? I think it's because there's a stainless steel countertop. That's the problem. I don't know. Maybe I put a divider. I think the metal. I don't know. I have no idea. We'll see. All right, let's learn over here. The parashas for Eschanan. We started the second pasuk. Or was it the third pasuk? I don't remember myself. Eschanan el Hashem. Okay, we up to over here. The Targum. We started the Targum yesterday. Pasuk, the second pasuk. I'm going to read the pasuk again. We already did the Rashi. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Chav Dalet Hashem Elokim. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Elokim. Atohachi loisu yav begun. Laharois to show us avcho. Your servant is godlucho. Your greatness. Vies yodcho. Hachazoko. Your strong hand. Asher mikel bashamayim uvaretz. Asher yasechem asechem vichig vursecha. So Rashi taught us two perushim. Rashi says either this means that you have taught me how to pray. Atohachilosa, you're the first person to reveal, first entity, Hashem, that you can daven to Hashem to be mevatel, a gezera, even though it's sealed. And according to Rashi, Rashi has revealed to us an incredible insight that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not know that the koyach of tefillah can undo a gezerah, a sealed decree. It's only because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet Egel, V'ato hani choisi li, you leave me alone, let go. Was Moshe holding on to Hashem? He was not holding on to Hashem. This was a way of Hashem saying to Moshe Rabbeinu that, yes, even though the gezerah is sealed, through prayer, you can undo a sealed gezerah. That was Rashi's first pshat. You have taught me to show that that your hand is extended to man to accept prayer in order to accomplish the impossible. Rashi's second interpretation is nothing to do with prayer, but rather you have showed me that you've already allowed me to enter part of Eretz Yisrael. There is Eder HaYarden. There is the part on the east and the part on the west. The part on the west is occupied by 31 kings, and the part on the east is occupied by 2 kings. You have revealed to me, you have allowed me to conquer the two kings on the east. Therefore, that's a revelation that you're going to be willing to allow me to conquer the kings on the west. And that is a very interesting point to learn, that there are a grand total of 33 kings. 33 is a very significant number. In fact, when you look at the number 33 relative to the number 100, 33 is the highest point in Chazal's understanding of a miut, of a minority. Why is 33 considered to be in the world of halach a miut? Now there's a miut of 49. Now 50 against 51 verse 49 is also called a miut. I don't know if that's called roif. I take that back. When you have a number of 51 verse 49, that's called a roif, a majority. When you have 66 verse 33, you're missing one, so you have to really say 33 and a third, verse 66 and two thirds, that's called a miut. Why? Why is that called a miut? Because that's the highest number in percentage-wise where the majority is double the minority. So when you're up to 33%, the remainder is 66. Let's forget about the fractions for now. The remainder is double. When the remainder is double, that's significant. When you get to 34, then the remainder is no longer double. So that's no longer called a mi'ut. That's called just a simple majority. So mi'ut, the number 33 is very significant. If the total number of kings that occupied Eretz Yisrael is 33. Now, 33 relative to what? How many names? I mean, what does that mean exactly? 33, it's only called the mi'ut relative to 100. But still, the number 33 is a significant number in that respect, that it represents, in the percentage-wise, it represents a miut. Ki atem hame'at mikol ha'amim. Our territory in Eretz Yisrael is a territory that was taken from 33 kings. We are called the ma'at. A ma'at, in percentage-wise, is 33. And that's what this Rashi taught us. Rashi Moshe, since you already let me do 2%, I mean two of the 31, that means you've already revealed that you matir the neder. Okay, let's review the Targum. We didn't really do the Targum. What's the Targum now? In Pasuk Chav Dalet, Hashem Elokim. Now, I told you yesterday over here, there are two Yuds. The Targum has two Yuds, and then he has Elokim. And the Targum was doing stuff that's unusual. I mentioned yesterday, I don't have a full shot and the full depth of what this means. Every time you get the Shemais, gets me a little scared, gets a little nervous. Shemais, not my thing. That ordinarily, the only time the Targum uses the letters Yud, Yud, is only when he's translating Yud, K, Vav, K. When it says in the Torah those four letters. If the Torah does not use those four letters, then it's not usual for the Targum. You have to study all the examples to prove that this is correct. The Targum will not translate Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud with Yud, Yud. That's his code for Yud, K, Vav, K. The fact that he's doing that over here, he's coming to teach us something, that the Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud in this instance is not your ordinary Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. It is a Yud, K, Vav, K. Now, why would that be so? You have to say, the answer is something along the lines that the Targum is Lishitosoi. Since the Targum on the first Pasuk says Vo'eschanan El Hashem, and the Targum translated the words Vitzalisi, which means prayer. So the fact that the Targum is working with the principle of davening, of prayer. So now when he says Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, he means, when he says Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, it has to mean, in this instance, it means prayer. Because I guess what he's trying to say is, I guess the idea is that Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, it's not an absolute rule that the Targum will only translate it with a different trend of Adnos. I'll say something, another word. It depends on the context. Usually, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is not being said as an expression of prayer. It's usually being said as an expression of acknowledgement of who's the boss. In this instance, since the previous pasuk says Vo'eschanan, and the Targum says clearly Vo'eschanan means Tzaloisi, so that when Moshe says Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, he's saying it is an expression of prayer. So that's why the Targum says here means Yud Kei Vav Kei, he translates with the Yud Yud. We'll leave it with that. Obviously, there's a lot more going on over here, which I don't know. But let's go further. Hashem Elokim. Louder, I can't hear you. Louder. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. It's my fault. I'm sorry. I got you. Yeah.
The Pasuk says Hashem Elokim. So that's what.
Okay, so we have to go to other examples. Okay, it's not fair. What I've done for you is not fair. I have to show you other examples. What I've done is not fair. We have to look at the entire Torah and study every time it says Hashem Elokim and how it's spelled, the way it's spelled, and then we can make a better analysis. Okay, I wasn't fair. I agree with you, Mark. Okay, let's go further.
Okay.
Hashem Elokim at you, Sharisa. La'ach za'ah, you have sharisa. What does it mean, sharisa? Sharisa, I'm assuming it means you have begun. Over here, in this sefer, he doesn't translate it. Believe it, he doesn't have any commentary on the word sharisa. That's surprising. Okay, ad, I guess it means sharisa, you have begun. You have sharisa. La'ach za'ah yos avdoch, to show your servant. Yos revusach, your greatness. The yos yedoch takifta, your mighty hand. The atru eloka dishchinsach, you are a god. Eloka, you are a god. Dishchinsach b'shmaya mil'eila, and your shechina, your divine presence, is is in the heavens. Vishalit ba'ara, and you rule over the earth, lest the aved ki uvadoch uche gibor vasoch. There is no one that can do like your deeds and like your might. Now there are a lot of interesting things in this Targum. Number one, the Targum does not like rhetorical questions. When we read the Pasuk, how do you read the Pasuk? The word me is always a rhetorical statement. Asher, me kel, me, who is like, who is a kel? Bashamayim uva'aretz. Show me someone. Go find me another God. Go find me another God. Asher yasech masech v'chi gvu roisach. Yeah, that's a very dangerous statement. Because that type of statement almost seems to say that there are other gods. There are other gods. It's just that they don't come anywhere near you, Hashem. You're better than them. But there are gods. Little gods. Little gods, they can do little things, but they can't do big things. Isn't that what it says?
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Moshe is talking now.
Right, Moshe is talking. Moshe is speaking. And Moshe is saying, Asher mich kel bas shamayim uvaris asher yasech ma'asecha. That's a very dangerous statement. It's a rhetorical question. Is there another God? But the rhetorical statement has a connotation that there are other gods. It's just that no one comes, compares to you. That's apikursis to say such a thing. So what then does it mean? Now, did Rashi, go back to Rashi. Rashi, asher mikel, look at Rashi. Rashi said, ein chodoyim lemelch bosav adam. So Rashi basically answered that question. Now Rashi said, Rashi, El does not mean a god. El means, is there another power? And we're referring to powers on this world. That's what Rashi answered the question. The word El, Lavan said to Yaakov, yesh le'el yodi. There is power in my hand to do to you, Yaakov, whatever I want. It's just that Hashem warned me last night, don't play games, don't make trouble. But the word El is not necessarily a holy word. Elohim also is not a holy word. The word Elohim literally means authority. It means authority. When we use in reference to Hashem, it becomes holy. When we use the word Ekel, Aleph Lam, in reference to Hashem, becomes holy. There are many, you know, like Bet-El. No one says, there's a city in Eretz Yisrael called Bet-El. Do you call it Bet-Kel? Does anyone call it Bet-Kel? No one calls it Bet-Kel, right? I don't know if they will lash at you if you'd say that, right? how do you go to Bet-Kel? Oh, you American, you stupid American. You don't know the difference between a Yemina Smola. You don't know nothing, right? The word El means might. Bet-El, a place of might. El means might, a bias of might. Might, and here Rashi answered the question, and Rashi, basically what Rashi has done is, the word me is indeed a rhetorical statement, rhetorical question. Is there another? Now don't say God, that's not nice, because there are no other gods, but are there other powers in this world, on earth, that follow the rules of Hashem, that are comparable to Hashem? And the answer is no. Why not? Because in this world, in this world, Rashi says, every time a king or a person presents a plan, there's opposition. There's always going to be opposition, and there's going to be a protest. So then, which holds you back from doing what you want to go do. But by the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no one holding you back. So it's a rhetorical question. And to take away the stigma of Vapikursis, Rashi came to the rescue. The Targum is doing something very interesting, very different. That's what he points out here, is the Targum says no. Targum says, what are his words? The at hu eloka. You are a God, period. The statement. Asher mi kel. There's no question. Doesn't say, is there someone doime? Rashi says doime. Doime means that doime means is there is comparable. Yeah, if the word mi means is there anyone else out there that's comparable, Rashi learns mi to mean doime. Mi doime loch. Targum says no. The at hu eloka, you are a god. Dishchinsoch bishmaya mila'ila vishale ba'ara, and you rule over the earth. Targum is awesome. He doesn't like rhetorical questions. That is his style. He does not hold the Bible talks like we talk in rhetorical statements, and therefore, Asher Mikel is an expression, and it means this is how it is. This is the way it is. It's not. There's no hint. There's no hint of coming to compare. There's no dimyon. There are expressions that are different in the Torah. Asher mi means you are. The at who you are. This we're not making comparisons with rhetorical with statements. It's a statement, not a question. Okay, the shchinta b'shmaid milel v'shalav b'yar the less yavik ke'uvdach u v'chig bar v'asach. No one can do like your might. Okay, now there is another interesting point over that he points out over here, the word yotcha. The Ramban. Now this is the Rambam. This Targum is a very important Targum that the Ramban and the Rambam have a disagreement. They have a disagreement about Unkelus. The disagreement is, does Unkelus, I don't know the fancy, I used to know these fancy English words, to ascribe, you tell me the word, there's a word, to ascribe human characteristics to God. What's the word? So with an AM, I forgot the fancy word. To ascribe, what?
Anthropomorphize.
What?
That's it.
What's the word?
Anthropomorphize.
So you don't know it either. I'm in good company. You'll put it on the chat.
Say three times fast.
Okay. But the this concept of ascribing, it's probably one of the SAT words, ascribing human characteristics to Hashem. Does Unkelus do that? The Torah says many times Yodcha, and it says all these words. Again, it's not a fair thing to talk about. The only way it's fair to talk about these things is to go in and show other examples, which I can't do now. But it seems that the Rambam analyzed the Unkelus, he surveyed the entire Unkelus, and he said the Unkelus, I don't know where he writes this, maybe it's in a letter, maybe it's in Mor Nevuchim, I don't know where Rambam says this, he said, probably has over here a source where Rambam says this. The Rambam's derech holds that Unkelus's derech is never to give Hashem physical characteristics. Even though L'shaber es, and Rashi does that, Rashi says those words, that Rashi Beferish says, that when it says in the pasuk that Hashem has a hand and a foot, and Hashem smells and Hashem hears, Rashi always says Hashem is spiritual, but it's written in such a way in order to l'shaber es ha'oizen. We're only human beings. If we want to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need epes. We need something to hold on to. So the pasuk does us a favor. It dilutes the infinite nature of Hashem in order that we simple people can get a little feel of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Unkelus never. He has a different standard. So the Ramban says to the Rambam, you're wrong. How do you, the Rambam, deal with this Targum that we just learned right now? Because in this Targum, look what the Targum says. He says, Hashem Elokim at you, Sharisa, you have begun, Le'ach za'o yos avdoch, yos revusoch, yos, yidoch takifto, and your mighty hand. Targum didn't change the language here in this particular pasuk. Maybe other psukim he did, but not here. So the Ramban, he writes that the Rambam, when he says that Targum does not do this, you see, it's not true. He does do it. I'll read you what he writes over here. He writes, Yotcha Targum Kloshana Kosov. Vegam Mikan Hisik. It is from this, I'm reading over here from the Sefer. It is from this Pasuk. Hisik Horamban Al Horambam. Where? In Moirin Nevuchim. Perek Aleph, section Chof Zayin. Shekova, the Rambam has established. Shederich Unkelis. Livroyach mikol l'shoynois hamoyrim hagshomo behakadosh baruch hu. That Unkelis, he runs away, he distances himself from ever ascribing physicality to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now there is another thing that's very important to take note of. All right, let's go further. There's no limit to all the different things here that he talks about. But let's it's a lot of stuff here. It's amazing how much stuff he's able to learn all this. But let's go further. Let's do another pasuk. Pasuk Chafei. Pasuk Chafei begins. Ebro na v'yeres aris atayva. Moshe Rabbeinu, he begs Hashem, please let not ein no ela l'shon bakasha. Let me pass, and let me see. Yes, aris atayva, the good land Hashem be'ever hayarden. On the other side of the Yarden, on the west side, Hahar Hatoiv Hazev Halavonin Rashi Pasukafe Ebrono Ein No Elo Lishoin Bakosha, a request. Now, what does that mean? The whole thing here is a request. What does Rashi here mean? All of a sudden, Ein No Elo Lishoin Bakosha. Everything here is a request. This is a prayer. Okay, so we have to see this in a moment. Then he says, "Ahor ha'toiv hazeh." What's this good mountain? Zo Yerushalayim. Okay, that's the classic. Okay, that Ahor ha'toiv. Toiv is you. Oops, ha'toiv. Sorry about that. One second. Ahor ha'toiv. The Ahor ha'toiv is Zo Yerushalayim, the good mountain. The Halavonoin Ze Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so the mountain that's good is Moshe Rabbeinu is asking Hashem to see Yerushalayim. And that's a very, very big chiddush. It's now Erev Tisha B'Av. And why is that a big chiddush? Who says Yerushalayim is anything special? Why is Yerushalayim so special? The Yerushalayim was only selected to be the makom of the Hashuas Hashchina much, much later. David HaMelech through Nasan HaNavi, they went and they surveyed, they were looking. Yerushalayim, the word Yerushalayim did not exist. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu here mean, Har HaToiv? There is no Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is nothing special. Before they came to Yerushalayim, they went to Gilgal, and then they spent 369 years in Shiloh. And then they spent time in Noivin for 57 years in Noivin Givon. And then the Arn was an Ir David for a long period of time until finally Shloima HaMelech, he built the base of David, they discovered that this will be through Ruach HaKodesh, the final resting place of Hashem Shechina. L'shichnoi Sidrushu uvasa shama. The pasuk l'shichnoi sidrushu uvasa shama did not happen for another 480 years. So what is it? How could Moshe Rabbeinu already be talking about Yerushalayim at this point in time? Unless you want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu had Ruach HaKodesh. What he's saying over here is, he had Ruach HaKodesh. He knows that ultimately the final resting place of Hashem will be in Yerushalayim. And that's what he's asking Hashem right now. It's a chiddush. So Rashi over here is saying, it seems like so simple to us. Oh yeah, of course Yerushalayim. Yeah, big deal, of course. Excuse me, of course. Yerushalayim was not a word. The whole principle of Yerushalayim didn't even enter a person's mind. There was no city called Yerushalayim. Ir shechubru lo yachtav. It was a place called Yireh, and there was a place called Shalem. They were neighboring cities, and later they were unified. They were unified. David HaMelech, he purchased the land. Aravna Hayavusi, he bought this piece of land, and he unified these two cities, the ear of Sholem and the ear of Yeru. Happened, even though it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Akedah took place. So very good, the Akedah took place. What about Har Sinai? Hashem gave us the Torah on Har Sinai. What became of Har Sinai? Nothing. Nothing. Har Sinai today is nothing. So Avraham went and he did the Akedah on Har HaMoriah. It was called Har HaMoriah. So very nice. Very good. He did Har HaMoriah. Big deal. So just because he did Har HaMoriah means that mountain is going to be the place of the permanent resting place of the Shekhinah. It wasn't for 369 years when he was in Shiloh. It wasn't when they were in Gilgal. It wasn't in the Midbar. So what's so special? It's only later on, in hindsight, this place was also the place where Avraham Avinu did brought Yitzchak as the Akedah. What then can Moshe possibly mean by saying this, Rashi? What is Rashi over here saying? Let's see Unkelus. Unkelus Pasuk Chaf Chafei says, Ebar Ke'an, let me enter Ke'an. Now Ke'an means now. So now, okay, pun intended, we know why Rashi did not get a good night's sleep. You always wonder, it's not real. Every Rashi, every single Rashi is just a response, a rebuttal to the Targum. You say this, I say that. Ebro, let me pass, no, now. Hayoim, today. Rashi says, who told you now? We want Mashiach now, we want Mashiach now. Who says now? Who says you can go now? Who Hashem is your hostage? You give Hashem orders? No! Ein no ela lashon bakosha. Now we appreciate what Rashi means when he says the word bakosha, because Targum says now. Verzeyos ada tovisa, the good land. The Ivra, the Ardena, on the other side of the Yarden, the good land, Keha'oretz HaToiva, Turotova Hodein, this good mountain, Ubeis Makdisha, and the Beis HaMikdash. Rash Targum does not say the word Yerushalayim. Doesn't say that. All Rashi Targum says is the Turotova. What is the Torah Tova? I don't know. What was Moshe? It's very bizarre. What is the Torah Tova? What's this all about here? Now, over here, he doesn't really say too much about this. Well, he does talk about. And 1 second over here, no. All right, so Rashi, okay, he doesn't really explain over here much, but it's a very interesting thing over here. What is the Torah Tova? Why did Rashi obviously rejected what the Targum Unkelus said, and don't just call it a Torah Tova. It has to be for something specific. Is Hazeh, Hadein, what's this? It has to be then Yerushalayim. Halavanon, they both agree on. They both agree on one thing over here. The word Halavanon means the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal tell us, why is the Beis HaMikdash called Livanon? It whitens the sins of Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Chavav, Vayisaber Hashem b'ilamanchem, Hashem got angry at me because of you, v'lo yishamayel, and Hashem did not listen to me. Vayom Hashem ilay, Hashem said to me, Ravloch. Hashem said to me, enough. Enough. You're not going. Hashem said to me, enough. You do not continue to speak to me anymore in this matter. Rashi, Pasuk Chavav. Vayisaber Hashem nismalei chema. The word vayisaber, okay, it's nismalei. It's Hashem is full of anger. Lemanchem b'shvilchem. Moshe says, atem geramtem li. You are the cause. You caused it that Hashem did not allow me to enter into Eretz Yisrael. V'chein hu oimer v'yak tzifu al mei meriva v'yera l'moshe ba'avuram. It says in Tehillim, they angered Hashem by the mei meriva. They angered Hashem. V'yera l'moshe ba'avuram. And because the Jewish people angered Hashem by demanding water, they demanded with chutzpah water from Hashem, so Hashem got angry at Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's suffering because of the people. The people sinned, and their leader suffers. Why? That's not fair. It says in the puzzle, Yumsu Ovis Albanim, Abanim Yumsu Alavis. So what about a Rebbe and a Talmud? A Rebbe and a Talmud is different? You're going to go tell me that a Rebbe and a Talmud is different? Can't be. What does it mean? I don't know. I don't know, but that's what he says over here, that Moshe was responsible. Rav Loch, Shelo Yomer. Here's a very interesting Rashi. Shelo Yomer, Harav Kame Kosha, Via Talmud Kame Sarban Maftzir. Perception. You hear this? You have to be concerned about politics. Okay, what are people going to say? V'yisem dikim Yashem mi Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam over here, it's very, very strange. He is concerned about his reputation. This is a pella. Hashem is not a politician. He's not a politician. Hashem will be given the benefit of the doubt in every situation. That Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pray nonstop and Hashem is going to tell him no, 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 no. Then in the newspapers, they're going to write up, look, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu is such a good person. He begs, pleads for mercy. And God is so mean. So Hashem is afraid what the editor of the Wall Street Journal is going to write in the editorial. Hayitochen, Hashem could care less what some shmo writes in his editorial. What's going on over here? Shelo yoimu, they should not say, Harav kame koshe, the Talmud kama sarbon maftzir. I don't know what those words really mean. What do those words really mean? He maftzir means to beg, to persuade. Sarbon means stubborn. Sarbon means, in this expression together, means that the Talmud doesn't give up. The Talmud keeps on trying more and more and more and more, and you would expect that in this world the Rebbe should give in. Dover Acher, another pshat, Rav Loch, Harbe Mizeh Shamu Locha, Rav Tuv Hatzafun Loch. Okay, Rav Loch in second pshat is, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave him an answer. Moshe, you don't need to go into Eretz Yisrael in the next world. There's plenty of reward for you. Whatever benefit you think you're going to gain by going into Eretz Yisrael, do not worry. There is so much more in store for you in the next world. So there's no need for you to worry, to make such demands. Let's see the Targum. Targum says, Pasuk Hava, Vahava, Vahava, Regaz, Min Kadam Hashem, Alai Bedilchoin. And there was anger before Hashem because of you. Bedilchoin, Veloi Kabel Mini. And Hashem did not accept. Hashem did not listen. Va'amar li, va'amar Hashem li, sagilach, enough. Lo toisef lema lo kodamai oid bepiska mohadein. No longer speak before me in this matter. Now, which pshat in Rashi is the Targum learning? Sagilach, enough. Enough. Targum doesn't say. See, this is the Targum is very, 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 this is often very frustrating. And the Targum, sometimes, he just translates the words. Okay? He just translates the words literally, and it doesn't give us any bayer. Rashi told us to pshatim. Ravloch, it means stop davening. It's too much. Stop davening, because people should not say that the Rebbe is very mean. Or the second shot is Rav Loch. You have an abundance of sagilach. There is much to you. Sagilach, enough. Sagil means enough. I don't know. Maybe the Targum is more like Rashi's first pshat. Sagilach means enough. Don't, but he doesn't tell us the reason. Doesn't tell us the reason why. Only Rashi tells us the reason, because the people should not go say that the Rebbe's caution to tell him the Talmud is mafsir. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk, Chav Zayin, Alei Rosh HaPiska. Go up to the top of the mountain, V'soy Necha, and go and lift up your eyes. Yom V'Safayna, Yom is west. It's very interesting to learn the order of the directions. When we shake the Dalid Minim Lulav and Esrog, you go and you, there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfar Nusach Sfarat. If you go, you go clockwise. Ashkenaz pretty much goes clockwise, and the Sfaradim, they go, I think, front, back, right, left. Is that correct? I'm not on Nusach Sfarat, but Ashkenazim go in a circle, Neshik, Lulu, and Esrog, and the Sfaradim, they have a different mahalach. Over here, look at this. Over here, go to the top of the mountain, V'soy Necha Yoma. Look west. West, if you're in Shul, so where is west? West is behind you. If you're facing Mizrach, and look, facing Mizrach, look west. V'tzofayna. Then look to the north. And the north is going to be to your left, correct? If you're facing east, and behind you is west, that means to your left is north. This seimana, then switch to your right, umizracha, and then go east. That's not the way anybody shakes lulav and esrog. No one shakes lulav. There's a new mahalach and shaking lulav and esrog. Why were you shaking this the directions? Ureivenecha ki loy savar esayardin hazeh. Why in this order? Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk of Ches says v'tzav pasuk of Zayin. Ureivenecha b'kashta b'meni v'eres aretz atayva ani mareh l'cho es kulo. I will show you the entire land. Shenemar v'yareyu Hashem es kol haaretz. Hashem should measure the entire land. Now, let's just see the Targum, then we'll try to figure this out with this order. The order, Pasuk of Zion in the Targum. Sak l'reish romsa. What does that mean? Sak means ascend. L'reish, to the top of a piska. Piska means the cliff. Okay, the romsa. Romsa means a high place. Now here uzikaf. Now here is an unusual word. Okay, the word over here, uzikaf, the Targum translates it, translates the word v'sa. Now we translate the word v'sa means to lift up. Okay, and where does it come from, the word? The word v'sa, I just want to put, I don't know, I'm just telling you what it says over here. It seems that the Targum, he writes over here, every time you have the word v'sa in Chumash, every time the Targum has a different translation for this word. The word v'sa is used in different contexts. Nosoy es roish b'nei Yisrael. Let's in fact go take a look at it right now. In the beginning of Parshas Nosoy, okay, it says the word Nosoy. Let's go look there. We learned this. Nesoy kabel yos chushvan b'nei gerush. Remember that kabel? Accept the number. Nesoy, lift up, means there to count. So here in Parshas Nesoy,
you have a pasuk with the word b'sah. B'sah es mishvar shmo sah.
And what does it mean over there?
That phrase with the word just b'sah.
So here, at least in Parashas Nosah, he has a different word. He has the word Kabel. Now let me just go back. In the end of Bamidbar, there's another word Nosah. In the last Aliyah, it says the word Nosah, also Kabilu. Kabilu. And here it says Nosah Esroish, Kabel Yos. Same exact words. Contradiction. In Parshas Bamidbar, in Shvi, it says Nosoy es roish b'nei kohos. Targum, Kabilu yos chushban b'nei kohos. In the beginning of Parshas Nosoy, it says Kabel, not Kabilu, Kabel yos chushban b'nei gershoin. What's going on? Why in one place does it say Kabilu and one place does it say Kabel? And here in Parshas Voeschanan, where it says the word v'sa here means uzikaf, v'sa einecha. Okay, v'hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu is birkas moyadecha. Okay, I don't know this, but I trust what he says over here, that every time you have the word saw or a variation of the word saw in Tanakh, in Chumash, the Unkelis will always find an excuse to give it a different translation than the other places. Why is that so? I don't know. Obviously, this is a very complicated word. And here it means to lift up enoch, your eyes, l'ma'avra, to the west, v'litzipuna, to the north, v'ulidoroima, to the south, ulimad necho, that's the east, v'chazi be'enoch, arei that, lo sabar yos yardenoch, then you'll not pierce the yarden. Now, what about the order? So let's go back to Parashas Maaseh. In Parashas Maaseh, when we learn about the gevulos of Eretz Yisrael, when Hashem describes the boundaries, what are the order? So the order there is in Perek Lamed Gimel. Perek Lamed Gimel, it says here the order. Here it is. In Perek Lamed Dalet, the Lechayilchem Pas Negev. Okay, so the first tzav es bnei Yisrael marklam ki atem boim al oretz kenan zoyis arvish shatim olachem menachala eretz kenan legvulah sav ayolachem pa'as negev. The first thing is the south. Okay, the first thing is the south, not the east. The next boundary, the nosav ha'magvul min negev malak rabim, and then it goes on to describe the west. After we finish the boundary on the south, we describe the west. And after we describe the boundary on the south, on the west, we're going counterclockwise, going clockwise. What was the next boundary? The north. V'zeh yelechem gvul tzafayin. Mehorahor to solve a hamas for you, tights Isaac Volt Sadad, the Yasak Volt Zafari, so the Hatanan is a glam safain, the his avisem lochem legvul kaidma the east. So here's the problem. The problem here is when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam outlines the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, when he presents the boundaries, he says he starts off with the south, which is, let's say you're facing Mizrach, so the south is going to be to your right, and then he goes to the west, then he goes to the north, and then he goes to the east. Hashem goes clockwise. He goes in clockwise, and his starting position is the right, called Pinashat upon Leyalimin, and then he goes all the way around clockwise. So we would expect that is what is misleading about Rashi, because Rashi tells us, and Hashem is going to show Moshe Rabbeinu the land, you want to see the land, so go up on the cliff, on the Pisgah, the Soinecha, and lift up your eyes. So you would think that the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he described the Klal Yisrael, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem starts with the south, and he goes in a circle clockwise. Hashem should do the same thing for Moshe Rabbeinu when he shows him the land, and yet he doesn't do that. And yet that's what's so disturbing. What's so disturbing over here is it goes and he says to him, first he shows him the west, then the north, then the south, then the east. What here is going on? What here is going on? I don't have an answer. And over here the Targum doesn't help us either. That this is just a general question of what happened, of why it's in this order, in this fashion. All right, it's already 8:00. We're going to have to stop over here by saying, I should have prepared more, something more interesting to say. All right, but we're going to stop over here tonight, the Mirat Shem. So we're not going to have a shiur tomorrow, obviously. We're not going to have a shiur on Thursday. So Mirat Shem, the next time we're going to have our night shiur will be Mirat Shem on Monday. Haba Aleinu L'Toiva. It's very hot outside. I think it's really gotten to me. All right. Have a good night, everyone. Have a good night. Be well. Drink a lot of water. Get ready for the Tisha B'Av. Tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, will continue with the Kinos. Kinois at 9:30. We'll continue with Hashem. Take care. Have a good night, everyone. Be well. Be well. Thank you for coming. Yeah.
What was the problem I was having getting on the site?
What were you trying to get on? You were trying to get onto Zoom?
I was trying to get into morningcurl.com.
The website's not working?
It was, and finally I got on some way. I don't know how. Maybe I went to